are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators hopple, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
He smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild. Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Depp steps again. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
I know what to do.
You do?
It's that Sam Walker kid.
Yeah.
You just got to give,
rain.
Just give him the whole bloody team.
Give him the keys.
Right. He's a freak show. Let him dictate how they play.
Right.
So I think he's always questioning him. He doesn't quite like the way he plays. Oh, he's a bit of a loose unit.
Yeah.
If you've got a halfback, there's no halfbacks.
Yes.
I think Keary, use him if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
I'd give Sam Walker the side. Now I'd put him 5'8".
Yeah. Like Adam Reynolds.
Joey Manu and 5'8".
Full credit to Mel, and do we give full credit to Robbo for knowing that same thing that Brendan Cowell could see, like Nostradamus, that Sam Walker was going to take the reins on that fateful day, Thursday Anzac Day at Allianz Stadium, and destroy the Dragons beyond what I imagined.
Eviscerated the Dragons is the word I'm using, Stephen. Look, I think full credit credit to us for giving the platform for Sousa and Nostradamus Cowell to give instructions to Robbo, which he finally listened to. It's the first time that Sam Walker's been said, get out there, run this ball club. And much to your sadness
and
abject misery, Sam did a number on you, Stephen. Yeah.
Now, the famous Walker brothers, the Ipswich sort of style of footy, eyes up, play what you see, thinking footy, smart footy. What's going on? The Dragons don't even realise there's a ball coming through. Oh, there's a ball coming over the top. Look out. Smart footy. Is there something like, is it like Lourdes, where you go to, there's water at Ipswich and you can sort of sample and go, I got smart footy IQ now because of the waters in Ipswich?
I went to a meeting in Ipswich once, Stephen.
Pauline Hanson there?
Yeah, and I was on the way to Toowoomba, a beautiful part of the world, Toowoomba. And I'm not saying Ipswich isn't, but there's a slight malevolence to that particular area. a mystique, all sorts of energies going on.
Yeah.
It concerns me. But the Ipswich Jets story is things like inventing the short dropout, the short kickoff, ..
Yeah.
But the most interesting thing that the Walker brothers came up with was in your six tackles, which generally last about 50 seconds, and we all know that number because we go, how long? We're up by a minute 20 and we're up by one and they're going to get the ball back. Their theory was to actually shift the ball from side to side so that the ball was in hand.
The ball does the work.
For a minute 20 and exhaust the defence. Yeah. There's still room for the NRL to learn more from the Ipswich mystique, I believe.
Right, okay. And Sam Walker, of course, took the reins, ran the game expertly. Do you think that, for example, the beard had anything to do with it?
I think the beard had everything to do with it.
He looked older, more mature.
Like, for once, he didn't have to show ID.
Nostradamus style.
He didn't have to show ID to get into the Allianz precinct, which was a positive.
Yeah.
He also had a new haircut. Not that anyone noticed because he had the beard.
Right, no.
And
I was bewitched by the beard.
Yeah, and there's no doubt in, I think throughout history, credibility is conferred by facial hair, you and I are sporting none.
That's right. We think about Moses, etc., you know, with the tablets of wisdom, you know, and there he was walking on the field, you know, with a great flowing robe on of all things, Anzac Day, which is a day, it is a holy day for Australia. And we were there at Allianz, and of course, with the Suns, and, you know, feeling pretty damn chuffed and pretty good about ourselves before the game. There was, you know, the last post, and I don't recall the fuzzy was this year, but there seems to be a lot of...
there's been budget cuts.
Budget cuts, Chris. You know, yeah. We know the difference between a Black Hawk, right, and the Westpac Surf Life Saving Guide helicopter, don't we?
All the money involved with Papua New Guinea and Rugby League is going towards that Pacifica Bears franchise to create a bulwark against the Chinese Communist Party.
Pacifica Bears, yeah, right.
Stephen. So, but yeah, you mentioned what was the situation with the Black Hawk this year?
Well, none.
None?
None, not at all. No, there was, as I said, a golden yellow helicopter, a little, like, dare I say, like a little mosquito-style sort of annoying helicopter. We enjoyed it, you know. I don't think there was any parachutes coming down with smoke coming out the back, multicoloured smoke, no red, white and blue or red and white smoke. So, you know, you get into the sort of the mood, the remembrance mood. There's no doubt about it. You know, I remember my grandfather fought, you know, yada, yada, yada. But there's something about it. And then Full House goes ballistic, first 30 seconds, 20 seconds, off the back fence, up runs Moses Suli. Moses again, smacked straight in the head, Jared Warrior Hargraves. And we all thought, of course, Jared had done the bumper up, didn't we?
Yes, and of course it was Jaden Sewer coming into the tackle that just bumped into Moses and put him in harm's way at the point of impact. Yeah. By the way, you mentioned the remembrance aspect in the Westpac helicopter. Why can't they safely land the Black Hawk?
Well, they used to.
What is it? Yeah. You had a theory about spider cam or something?
Well, apparently, yeah, that's a spider cam that can go down on the ground, of course, move around. It's got wires everywhere. Well, surely if they're going to go into battle, you know, and they've got to pinpoint who they're going to take out, surely the Black Hawk can do that.
Should be able to deal with the spider cam. And I should mention my father, who we spent Anzac Day morning with.
Yes.
He fought in the Second World War in Papua New Guinea in the Air Force.
Have they got bears there?
Well, they will.
They will.
and he was a young man, obviously. And I said, "What did you do?" And he goes, "I don't know, clerical duties. I can't remember." But good on him and good on them. Fire
up. Imagine if you get this golden ticket thing. You're a dumb, stupid footy fan. You're an idiot, right? And you go, you know what? All your mates are encouraging you, much like, you know, if you're going to do a nude run or something, mm-hmm. you know, a streak. But you get the golden ticket, which says you are in the running to be that guy that the rugby league players, who, of course, are how big, Chris? 6'7", weighing 10, 15 kilogram.
120 kilos.
Run back in and get hit by 2, 3, sometimes 4 equally sized behemoths. But your job, if you're up for it, is to sign a waiver, a declaration that says you will not sue the NRL or anybody else, and you take that run for fun.
Look, I think most fans are like me, Stephen. They always had this sort of fantasy about being out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the concerns with concussion, which are rightly held, and thank you, Peter Fitzsimons, for your service.
Yes.
has seen the game at an inflection point where they're having these serious conversations about whether they should ban the kickoff, ...
Yeah.
And
from the back fence.
Yes, from the back fence. It's always going from the back fence.
That's a new cliche now, from the back fence.
Which was a huge issue when the Roosters were playing at Sydney Cricket Ground.
Yeah.
Because Jared Hargraves had to run about 50 metres before he got into the in goal.
Yeah, and if I could suggest to you, what other options would be available? Like, can I outrun, can I outstep Reece Walsh, for example, you know?
Well, let's baby step, Stephen.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
So player welfare is paramount. So we need to protect them. So if we... Banning the kickoff, no one wants to see that.
No.
But if we can make that like in NFL, and I know this is treacherous ground, special teams where a punter has signed up as part of their membership to be in the draw, to be at the game, the kickoff return person, because all you got to do is catch a pass from a halfback
and go.
And then run.
And go.
Right? And then two people on the defense can be punters who are, you know, Suli style.
So size equals size.
Because we know that most concussions are occurring to the tackler rather than the tacklee, if that's right. A word. Yeah. And this would be retaining the excitement of the kickoff.
Yep.
Another stream of revenue for the NRL,
yep.
right? Fan engagement's paramount,
yeah.
Stephen.
Yeah.
And the players would have their heads protected. I think it's a great way
to
start.
Think it's a winner. Yeah, yeah.
The logical conclusion of this, Steve Mascord, and we're on rugbyleague.com. We're delighted to be so.
Mm.
Steve Mascord's a frequent guest on our show, Stephen. And he talked about the Rugby League doomsday clock when I first started doing the show 10 years ago at being 150 years. The game had 150 years less.
Yeah.
By the end of my first season on Fire Up, it was 100 years.
What does Brendan Cowell say?
I'm saying... The clock is ticking.
Yeah.
And we don't want to end up like that movie Rollerball, where they're just sort of, you know, fodder to the Lions, a la the gladiator style.
Yeah.
But emerging of the public fans and the players in these special situations is a very fertile area for discussion, Steve.
Well, you mentioned the gladiatorial aspect of it. Isn't that the whole point? I mean, can't they be the players be allowed to do what they want if they get paid to do it?
Well, you're talking about freedom, Stephen. You're talking about democratic right. No, because here's an expression that I've trademarked, Stephen.
Have you just?
Because no one's occurred to this. If we have doctors and lawyers running the game, there will be no game.
That's right.
And let me tell you, I know a lot of doctors and lawyers, and I don't like any of them. Now, and they're ruining our code, and I won't stand for it.
No, that's right. You don't have to be a soothsayer to sort of see that.
You don't have to be Nostradamus or Brendan Cowell.
No. And you know, Brendan had – well, we don't often have kind words for Robbo. You know, we think he's quite a funny character. but Brendan didn't pick this up, neither did I, but until afterwards I realised that Robbo had also decided in his wisdom and his experience to consult some of the generals in the actual army – forces,
yes,
high rankers. We're not five star, not Jack Nicholson, but nonetheless.
It begs the question: do we have five star generals in Australia? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But like, and of course, wisdom and Robbo is always contentious because
he's loaded with it.
Well, he doesn't have a beard.
No,
but the question that I believe was posed: if Robbo and the Roosters, the Dreamliners, etc., were able to access generals. My understanding is Flano made a similar request of the Australian Armed Forces, and they sent along a couple of Army Reserve people to speak to the players.
What you're highlighting here is this: those the haves and the have-nots. You know?
Yes.
Those the winners and the losers.
Big clubs, small clubs.
Yeah. Those with money and those no money. And so, you know, there I was at Allianz Stadium, and we'd just seen, as I said, the helicopter come in and the ball being presented, and then there was all sorts of, you know, ceremonial activities. The last post, the national anthems, etc. We all sang along to the New Zealand anthem, of course, you know, and then I realised as I started to see my team, St George, go down the gurgle, quick smart, in an ugly fashion, you know, all hope disappears. And you go, we talk about the footy gods, and suddenly I realised the footy gods had abandoned the ground. They'd gone, they'd left.
Are you superstitious, Stephen?
I am.
The second season of The Jinx is running right now.
Okay.
You were on record as saying after the Dragons beat the Warriors it was a turning point.
A turning point.
And you were correct.
Yeah.
It was a turning point back down the road.
Yeah.
And now your great coach, Flano, who is, we've highlighted on this show, is a bit of a stand-up merchant. He says we're focused on 2025.
Thanks.
But before let's have a listen to what Flano has to say about a team that you love and adore.
Okay.
Next week comes around real quick and we play a team from down the Shire that I'm really interested in beating.
Have you built that game, Flano?
Yeah, it's been marked in the calendar for a while.
Is it going to be an emotional week for you? Or?
Not an emotional week, no. Won a comp there. I don't think they've won since, have they?
So Flano won't even mention the Sharks by name now, Steve.
No. Yeah.
How do you feel?
And who is St George playing this week?
That team down south.
That's right. So I'm not saying a thing, Chris.
So how do you feel about that team being on the top of the table after the spanking you got?
Well, I can speak my mind now that the soothsayer is not with us. The Nostradamus is not around anymore because I don't want to necessarily offend him personally. He's a good mate, isn't he, you know? But how do I feel? I just feel that it's undeserved.
Right.
But then there I was at Allianz, not ever standing because there's nothing to stand or cheer about, right, past the national anthem, et cetera, et cetera. And as that sinking feeling kicked in, I thought to myself, gee whiz, there's something very wrong here. Here I am sitting in the glorious surrounds of a building that cost nearly $1 billion at the taxpayers' expense. And, you know me, I love a big stadium.
You do.
Love that the food was great. I couldn't move between floors very easily. I've got to say that's a critical point when you want to meet some of your friends.
If only we knew someone who had power at Venues New South Wales, we could do something
If only we knew somebody we could make a point to, Chris. I was seeing his team sink. Well, meanwhile, dare I say, you'd have to be entitled when you've got a $1 billion home as opposed to Cogra or what's your joint called? Or joints?
Leichhardt, Campbelltown.
You know? And then you look at this and you think, wow, this doesn't seem right. It is not adding up that these, and dare I say, there were some very muscular young men shouting insults at some of the St George fans in the audience. I thought unfairly so.
Well manicured beards a la Sam Walker.
Oh, man, these are winners. Winners.
Metrosexuals on steroids, Stephen?
On steroids. Roid kings, that's right.
And it must be galling. And I actually can share your pain because I drove past the home of the Sydney Roosters, so-called, on Wednesday evening, and I saw the St George Illawarra banners fluttering, in the evening breeze.
Hope.
And then a jarring sight was juxtaposed against a big edifice saying
yes.
home of the Sydney Roosters.
That's right.
Well, who says this?
Yeah.
And why is this? And why is your taxpayer dollar and my taxpayer dollar
supporting their beautiful home?
It doesn't make sense
to
me.
No, and I don't really see the soccer mob nor the rugby union mob actually doing much there at the moment.
No, well, they're kind of shut out effectively.
Yeah, exactly.
And but the pain wasn't just confined to you, Stephen.
What do you mean?
Well, I went out to Campbelltown Sports Stadium.
Oh, of course. Oh, one of your locations, your multi-million dollar locations, not.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And basically went to a procession, which was the Broncos defeating the West Tigers.
Yep.
And look, it's a beautiful evening, gorgeous sunset.
What do we call them out? The Caxton Street Globetrotters?
Well, it's hard to hate the Broncos right now.
It is,
right?
It is.
And there wasn't, they'd restored the old man Reynolds and Payne Haas to the roster, but Cobbo and Mann were missing and they were still electric still.
Oh, man.
And so much so that when old man Reynolds hobbled off on one leg near the end of the game.
All strapped up.
Yeah. A huge standing ovation from the crowd in front of me. There were thousands of Broncos fans there still.
Wow. It's spreading.
I don't think it's a bad thing because it's revenue in our coffers.
Right.
But I think what it shows is a modern reality in the game is people don't follow teams anymore like you and I do, Stephen.
No.
They follow players.
Well, that's right. What was he called? The Justin Bieber of Rugby League.
Reece Walsh is bums on seats deluxe.
Yeah.
Now, there was a bit of an argument about whether he's the Bieber of League, which led to a fan headbutting a security guard in the lead up to the game.
But you saw that?
Yes. That's just. That's just.
Do you know what song was being played?
Street Fighting Man.
I believe. Yeah. Right.
And look, there were some moments for us. Samuel Afenu having what we would refer to in modern rugby league vernacular as a brain explosion, tackling a player who'd caught the ball on the fall and the in-goal led to a sin bin. But at the end of that sin binning period, Stephen, where we'd only conceded the one try and we're down 10-0, brave Inspector Gadget himself, Appy Coruscant, reached out.
Why is he called Inspector Gadget?
Because he reached out, extended the arm and planted the ball down, only to be denied by the bunker because he apparently couldn't re-grip. Well, who can re-grip, Stephen? If that's not a try, I'm not a rugby league fan.
And talking about footy brains, we'll get to Gus Gould's response pretty soon, right?
We'll hear about that.
Now, talking about the haves and the have-nots, Ricky Stewart. Ricky Stewart, right? How many games has he clocked up?
Get this.
Yeah.
500.
500.
And you've got to throw in the best part of 300 as a player.
Yeah, Christ. Right? And he's still talking and walking.
And yet, when he fills in his passport application, he still just puts consultant. He doesn't actually mention rugby league.
Is that right?
Yeah, because he still hasn't quite settled himself in the game and where he belongs.
And I don't, once again, there was Brendan Cowell's team, Cronulla Southern, top of the ladder.
You mentioned them by name, Stephen.
Will that bring a curse upon me?
We can edit it out. Yeah, so there he's playing them down at Shark Park with all the scaffolding and periphery that park entails. I think they, I don't know,
how many points did Canberra get?
Zero.
Right. How many points did Cronulla Southern get?
Zero with a four in front of it.
Christ almighty, what is going on? So this is one of those blowout rounds that we often hate, don't we? The media jump on it and go...
Well, I jump on it. I blame Volandis that as the cream rises to the top, you start to see this huge difference because there are big clubs and small clubs.
Yes.
Millionaires and paupers.
Yes.
And Cronulla and Canberra. And Ricky, I mean... We want to commemorate his greatest contribution to the game as a coach over 500 to hear him at his latest presser.
I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful to you guys, but it's just not real. I don't really feel like dwelling on much of it at the moment.
No disrespect intended.
It sounded like 500 games.
Have we got a song, Chris?
Yes, to lift Ricky's spirits and all Canberra fans' spirits. Dennis Carnahan has dived into his archive and we're going to indulge him for some of his ode to Jared Toots Croker.
There've been years of pain, years of change, the glory days had gone. But grand final day 2008, a new hope came along. A hero wearing headgear to hide the blonde tips in his mane. He called G-Town, caught Mick Pickers, kicked the under-20s, won the game. And the fans had something to hope for, something new to believe. A promise of better days to come.
2009, 10, 11 tours rose beyond compare. Now he had more highlights in his highlight reel than highlights in his hair. I don't know how he got that ball from Sammy in the semi in 2012, but his kick for that try to Shandor Earl made Ray Warren yell. Stop it, it's starting to hurt. Rugby league, a promise of better days to come. We didn't always win, but he never let us down. Every time he played in green, he always made us proud. And I can't believe the Turks won't be around. The golden boy from Goulburn has decided to step down.
Get on the line in your time. I'm always ready to make you smile. Pick up the phone if you're alone, and I'll be over in just a while. Baby, all you do is smile.
Tane Milne, JD Locke, what did you make of that action at the end? Probably careless and unnecessary.
Yeah, probably ends a dumb night. On a dumb note. So, you know, it's just...
Was that the tackle on Munster?
Yes, Tane Milne.
Is there anything dumb about that?
Well,
really?
That was his defence to the judiciary.
Yeah, okay.
And they go, I admit it was egregious tackle, it was unnecessary, but, Your Honour, in fairness, it was Cameron Munster.
Egregious, eh?
Yeah.
Is there a better word we could use? Omni shambles?
Yeah. And, you know, we talk a lot about the rugby league lexicon, and we will later as well, but there's no doubt about it. Grub. Tane Milne.
Yeah. And what do you call Munster?
Yeah. But, you know, dumb into a dumb night from Jason Dimitri, the beleaguered coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, Stephen. And you know what today is?
D-Day.
It's Dimitri Day.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, isn't it hilarious? We do this every year, don't we? At least twice a year, someone's getting the axe, right?
That's right.
And we're counting down the days because they're going to lose again, you know? And you think, oh, my God. We know there are winners. We know there are losers. What are the management thinking they're going to do every time? Find a winner? And then there's going to be another loser. So it's just rotate the loser, isn't it? It's like a some sort of fairground ride.
That's right. And it's really when we dial in, courtesy of Robbo, to the minds of the coaches, what are we hearing in there? And in Dimitriou, I'm hearing the ghosts of rugby league past because I think he's about to join them.
Yeah.
And the word has come down as we record on a Tuesday afternoon in Sydney for context, Stephen, is that they've already had a board meeting at 11 o'clock with the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Is Russell there?
Well, this is really interesting.
Did Russell fly back?
This is really interesting because this is how it works.
Yeah.
This is you talk about your problems with boards.
Mm.
I think we've unlocked it here. First of all, Nick Pappas, long-term chairman of Souths, overseas. So he's going to dial in.
Right.
But the owners all have seconds. So Russell, not there.
Like proxy.
Yeah, so he's going to be he's going to be represented in today's board meeting, and they've just announced another one at 5 o'clock, which is surely it for Dimitriou.
And they do know about Zoom though, don't they?
Well, yeah, but Russell's busy.
I know that.
He's filming Nuremberg,
not
Stephen.
Not busy enough that he's got Gladiator 2. I think he's a bit pissed off about that, hasn't he?
Okay. So we've got Michael Borgland, the Swedish film producer who produced the recent John Farnham documentary, which I love.
He's stepping in for Russell.
And Poker Face, yes. And Keith Roger, who produced Robin Hood and The Water Diviner.
Yeah.
Mike Cannon-Brooks from Atlassian is represented by Kelly Morton, the managing director of Sky Capital. And Jimmy Packer is represented by Sam McKay, or Mackay, depending on where you come from, one of his long-term key lieutenants.
I thought it might have been Alan Jones because he was spotted at Double Bay recently in a pair of shorts, no less. You see that?
Yeah.
Is there an uglier sight in rugby league than Alan Jones in a pair of shorts? No. I think they're coloured too.
But Ricky's actually quarantined the parrot as his wellness guru this year and last year.
Bloody hell.
So this surely is the problem.
Big problem.
Is that the Rabbits owners...
No one driving the bus.
Can't be bothered showing up.
No.
And poor old Jason Dimitriou, I think it's a domino theory, Stephen. Yeah. I think David Ferner arrived in the coaching box.
The quiet man.
First domino.
Yes.
They announced yesterday that Lachlan Ilias, the broken leg halfback, was free to negotiate second domino.
Yes.
And...
Right.
Dimitriou.
Right.
D-Day.
Does that mean they might have a war chest soon? Like the Roosters?
Well, with the...
Like the Dragons did?
With the retirement of... You want some hope, Stephen. I know you need some.
Yeah.
The Roosters are losing Keary, who's retiring.
Yeah, yeah.
Swahilihi, yeah. Joseph Akuso Swahilihi.
Farewell, young man. Yeah.
Jarawira Hargraves may well be going.
And he did lift the bumper again in that game. He did. He might not have done it the first time. He did it again.
Daniel Tupu, they're going to have a $4 million war chest.
War chest, yeah.
So there should be a bit of coin in the Rabbits.
Mate, the last thing you want to be afraid of the Roosters again, do we? No way.
Can you imagine Robbo going out there shopping and just, you know, come in here and let me tell you about the Roosters' way.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Let me tell you about Kyle Flanagan. Let me tell you about Matt Lodge.
Does he put
let me tell you about Michael Jennings.
Does he put matchsticks under their eyes so they can stay awake for 4 hours?
And the potential recruit go, mate, why am I listening to you? You haven't got a beard.
Yeah, exactly. So Souths are in crisis again.
and I'm looking for a thread here, Stephen.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem that South Sydney faced.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, you tell me.
Well, look, one of our alumni, Ben Mendelsohn, right? Christian Dior in the new look.
Yes.
Well, Russell's always been a fan of fashion and particularly the Italian designers and sometimes the French. But I don't know who he consulted, but they had an Anzac look last year and they've repeated it this year. How well did that go? What did the look like? Any red and green, Chris?
No. It looked like navy blue because it was the navy.
Yep.
It looked like a sailor suit as worn by the sailor in The Village People.
Or Gene Kelly.
Exactly.
One of the two. Yeah. And it didn't really work, did it? And so Russell's in hiding, isn't he?
That's right. That ship is up. Yeah. By the way, I had a friend, when poor old Gianni Versace got lost his life in
Miami.
In what do they call that beach? Or whatever that beach
is. Main Beach.
Main Beach, whatever it is.
Yeah.
He used to go and have a coffee and read the papers at the News Cafe. My friend dyed his hair and kept a vigil for Gianni for about a month after that, just living his best life because of his devotion to Gianni's fashion.
On the boardwalk there, on the promenade.
Beautiful.
Wow. And who actually beat South?
Melbourne Storm.
And so sort of, dare I say, warlike, wasn't the whole thing? You know, great big machines just rolling straight over the top of them, right?
They do, and we heard from Nostradamus Cal himself how much he now loves the Storms, having been entertained by them with the gold taps in the bathrooms, et cetera, et cetera. They love and present the Anzac Day thing so well. It's a loss just when you turn up. You can't beat that military might that
precision
is the Melbourne Storms.
Heartless, like soulless.
Agents of the...
Doom.
Devil.
Whatever, it's menacing and scary, and I don't want to play them right now. That's all I can say.
On Fire Up, words are important. Wedgie, squirrel grip, the hopawate, the scrum.
What's happening with Shay Arthur?
Jerome, you know,
Michelle and Brad, how are things going down that way?
Well, the Sushi Wilton. Again, not good for Parramatta, though very brave at Four Pints Park on Friday night, Stephen, and in fact only trailed by 2 minutes as Will Pennicini returned from being incorrectly sin-binned because Tom Trbojevic was offside. And so they are in the hunt.
That sounds dumb.
With 10 minutes to go, and then this happened.
That was a big flashpoint moment with Micah being sin-binned. How did you see it?
That's dumb, isn't it?
No, yeah.
It's 2018. We're in front 4-3, I think. 10 or 11 minutes to go. So tackle 4, and they put a kick up, and hopefully we get the ball back.
Cuthie, you shook your head then when Jimmy asked about the Michael Cedar. What were your views on?
No, just stupid.
Yeah.
We're right in the game. It's 10 minutes left. We just got Will back on. Last tackle, we catch the ball, we give ourselves a chance. Just silly things at the moment that are really hurting us. Just missed tackles, penalties against us. Can't do that in NRL games. Doesn't matter who you're versing. Can't do that in NRL games.
Chris, I'm just shaking my head, you know. Like, even the Diggers were shaking their heads at the Dragons of the day. And, of course, all the whole round was all Anzac, and it's just stupid. Dumb notes to end dumb nights, you know. And at least Flano had the decency not to say that about the Dragons.
Yeah, and if you look closely at the uniform that the jersey that the Parramatta Eels were wearing, it seemed to have a similar sailor rectangular motif at the back. So I think that all rugby league teams are on notice. Don't go
so
down
it's a
that
fashion thing.
Don't go down that route next Anzac Day. A couple of things I like about those interviews, apart from the dumb and stupid bits. I love how a rugby league coach can spin something. Brad Arthur going, we're down 2018, we're in front 4-3. Well, I've never seen a competition point awarded for scoring more tries if you're behind on the scoreboard at the end. And then also I love the fact that I'm out of touch because every time I hear someone saying versing, every part of me wants to go, that's not a word, but I have to accept that it is.
You have to accept these things, Chris. So given that I was at Allianz and you were elsewhere, Campbelltown, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think, and I'm thinking that they should accumulate some of those teams in the Sydney region and make them not play necessarily every game at their home ground, but accumulate at the big stadium so that you, West Tigers, should be playing at Parramatta?
Look, I hate to say it, Stephen, and I've been on record on this show before. I want my ashes scattered on Leichhardt Oval.
Yeah, sure.
Hopefully not too soon. That I feel that that time is imminent.
Nearing, yeah, yeah.
That we've got world-class facilities at Moore Park and at Parramatta.
Yeah.
And they're being quarantined for two teams only.
Two teams only.
And
outrageous.
Given that all my taxpayer dollars are now going into schools and hospitals for the rest of time,
exactly.
I feel I should get some benefit rather than being squeezed in at places like Campbelltown and Leichhardt and, dare I say, Netstrata Cogra Jubilee.
Mm. All right. Anything else said on this dumb week of footy?
Well, what I like is the morphing in those interviews in the dial-in segment from dumb to stupid. But when you need to understand exactly where the game is, we go to a very, very obvious place, Stephen, and that, of course, is Gus Gould.
And now it's time for the latest instalment of The Life and Times of Gus Gould.
That's why we've got this ridiculous short line dropout rule.
100%.
This ridiculous short line dropout rule. I mean, our game is so stupid. You can lose the ball over the line scoring a try, right, and you get penalised 20 metres and seven tackles. It cost the Canberra try yesterday. You lose the ball over the line, it costs you 20 metres and seven tackles. Why? I don't know, because it's stupid. But I can just take a line drop, and if it goes out on the floor, doesn't go 10 metres, no consequence, nothing at all. What sort of stupid game is this? Who sits and makes up these rules? Obstructors, and oh, he didn't have his eyes on the ball, and he bumped into him, and he ran behind him. Obstruction. Happy Coruscant, try. What the hell was that?
It cost Brisbane the grand final last year. They're not being able to execute dropouts, costing the grand final.
We are so stupid with our rules. Give me that. Did I score that or not?
Might have been a bobble.
I love doing our game is stupid.
Hey, stupid! What do you think you're doing?
Back with Fire Off. Hello, Chris. How you doing?
Stephen, I'm very excited because we just played Hey Stupid by Alice Cooper.
Yes, and you saw him in the flesh, and not for the first time, I'm sure. One of your favourite performers. How old is he now, and does he play golf or drink?
Well, he's definitely migrated from the drink via an almost fatal addiction to cocaine into a recurrent golfer.
Right.
Like, his autobiography is entitled How I Gave Up the Drink and Learned How to Play Golf.
Wow, and what luxurious grounds does he play on? Where does he live?
Look, he's an Arizona native. So
is he?
So he was born in Arizona and then Phoenix.
Hamstrings? Is that?
I think it was Phoenix. Yeah, Palmstrings, right. Still California, I think.
Is it just, yes.
Okay. And then the band made their name in Detroit, Stephen. And when
the mean streets of Detroit.
When they teamed up with Uber producer Bob Ezra, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Right, okay.
But Alice is a sprightly 76.
Because I actually snuck in via the toilets of the Sydney Cricket Ground back in 1970, I'm guessing 75.
So it's actually 77.
77, okay.
And it was the Sydney Showground.
Sydney Showground.
So your memory's a little wonky.
No, it's the same strip.
Yes.
Driver Rav.
And I was
you
in.
You climb in a window, who cares? It's a toilet.
It was the Welcome to My Nightmare tour. I was in My Fair Lady as a 15-year-old, and I enviously could see the lights from Stanmore of the gig.
You're just blowing everything there, Chris.
Now, of course, there's a rugby league connection, Steve.
Go on.
Because Alice is always the ultimate villain, right?
Yes, of course.
And at the end, in the encore, and this is, remember, 1977.
Yep.
He walked out in, get this, a warm old Manly Warringah Seagulls jumper.
That's right. That's
and the booze rained down on him. Didn't do it. I saw
didn't
him
care.
I didn't saw it as part of Pandemonium on Anzac Day, Stephen, but I have seen another gig where he walked out with a T-shirt for the encore with the, in Diamantes on the T-shirt, the words, Britney wants me.
Britney wants me?
And then he turns
that's
around.
That's sort of weird, isn't it?
And he turns around on the back, it has dead.
But has it got a little pot belly?
Well, it's actually. He has, and yeah. I shouldn't talk, but it's actually come down a bit, right?
Yes.
And he's in rare form.
Form, is he? Yeah.
Pandemonium, of course, was relocated from the Domain, Steve, in two stages, non-stop rock and roll entertainment, hugely diverse
into one.
Range of bands into one,
yeah.
With 40-minute breaks between
I
sets.
Heard that.
And it's interesting because all the Pollies and the RSL, et cetera, all gone on the bandwagon. Give the Diggers their day. They don't want to have to deal with
disrespect
rock them. Concert. Yeah. I'm telling you, I didn't see anyone at that gig under 60.
Of course.
Right. I saw a lot of Diggers who were having the time of their lives.
And what time did the doors open? Sorry.
So it was at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Finishes when?
It finished at about 10:30.
Wow. So over 8 hours with 40-minute breaks in between. How much drinking can you get done? And golf?
And let me tell you, it was Spartanly attended. And we just got there for Psychedelic Furs and Blondie. Now, Deborah Harry, 78.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And they were fantastic as well. One thing you say about the Cooper, it's a very economic performance in terms of it's very, very specific in what it's trying to achieve. Blondie is based on the musicians they've got at the moment. There's a few wig outs, Stephen. They wigged out during the time as Tide is High,
Tide is High, yeah.
Okay. Into like a psychedelic fusion section. Long
Clem Burke?
Clem Burke was one of the great rock and roll drummers.
Jimmy Destri?
No, it's only Clem and Debbie left. Chris Stein writes for the band.
He's not
well enough to tour.
Not well enough.
Thinks he probably will never tour again.
Okay.
But they had a terrific keyboard player, did a guitar solo.
Oh.
And we had a great guitar duel during Atomic.
Mm.
But get this, the bass player, Glenn Matlock, from the Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw the Sex Pistols belatedly at the Horton Pavilion. It wasn't great.
No, I didn't go to that one.
No, okay.
No, I tell you what, though. Pandemonium, the only pandemonium would have been people who spent $600 for a VIP ticket in a little fenced-off tent, right, with not enough seats.
Not even Kathy Freeman's tribute can warm your hearts there.
And a promise for compensation that more than half the bill was axed by saying you'll get gourmet pizza. Apparently it was the supermarket frozen variety.
Sure.
And given how the privation that was prevailing, I'm amazed there wasn't some pandemonium.
Yes.
But these are all people of a certain age,
Of course. Why would you bother? Did they do a cameo on each other's performances? Did Blondie or
Alice? No, they sort of – Blondie certainly name-checked Alice Cooper. And I tell you what, Alice, when he did Elected –
What's his real name? Vince, isn't it?
Vincent Furnier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Son of a preacher man.
Yeah.
And when he did Elected, he was on a raised staircase and he had the American colours, a typical red, white and blue rosette thing in front of it. But he had the Indigenous flag and the Australian flag. And he said he is the person to run our country, let alone the United States.
Does he not know we've got a leader, a pretty good leader? Does he not know that?
and in the end, when elected, he sort of points to the crowd. He goes, I want to be elected by you, not you.
Okay.
And it speaks to its time because that is what modern American politics is. Vote for me and I haven't got a platform.
Now, I'm guaranteeing there was one flaw in that whole proceedings, Chris, one major non-appearance. And that no reference to Terry Hill.
There was no reference to Terry Hill.
Didn't happen at Allianz either.
We got a Lest We Forget from Alice, which I think maybe was a catch-all.
A catch-all.
But what a great loss. Obviously, after losing Golden Boots Keith Barnes from West Tigers fans, double blow with Terry Hill dying.
Yeah.
and a sad moment. But people were reflecting on the humour of the man, of course.
Of course, and you know, who can forget the he's an animal lover.
Yes.
We know that.
Greyhounds.
Respecter.
Yes.
Of animals, you know. Scotty Fulton.
Yes.
Yeah, the lobsters, yes. Traps, you know, he's good with them.
He and Scott Fulton were fined, I think, $2,500 each for illegally setting lobster traps.
But not on a plane.
No. But one, you know, a little whimsical reflection out of that this week with the sad loss of Terry was Bobby Fulton always backed his players, Stephen.
Yes.
What coach doesn't, by the way? I love a modern football coach coming out. I tell you what, I'm not backing the players. They're on their own. And Bobby was interviewed outside the court after the fines were issued, and he says, I'm going to go home and listen to the B-52s. The Rock Lobster.
We were at a party. The gear lock fell in the deep. Someone reached in and grabbed it. What the Rock Lobster.
Only song, I think, that's charted that has a reference to a narwhal in it, Stephen.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
We need to start a podcast. Now, talking about the Harlem Globetrotters, Penrith, how are they doing? Because they've been looking a bit shaky, haven't they? And North Queensland, he's a very, very you say Dower or Doer? I say Dower.
I go Dower.
You're Dower.
Yeah.
Payton.
Yeah.
Tony Payton.
Yeah.
Doesn't smile much.
No.
Serious man of business, wants to win. How did you see that game?
I actually enjoyed that game thoroughly.
Yeah.
It was I think what's gone wrong with Todd Payton is he's shaved off the little goatee and the mo.
That's right. Yeah.
Ming the Merciless style.
Ming the Merciless, yeah.
And that was his panache.
Yeah.
Now, like, we are working out there's a high correlation between facial hair and rugby league and success,
yeah,
a la Sam Walker. So I think Payton needs to reevaluate. But it was a cracking game, Penrith and North Queensland. The only problem is, Stephen, no one's really interested.
No. Is that the sound of tumbleweeds?
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested, Chris, but, you know, what's more interesting, the kiddies, who, of course, do love a bit of horror, Alice Cooper.
Yes.
Do love a bit of violence, faux violence, pretend. Is there a prettier sight than Cameron McInnes? And does that draw the crowds, do you reckon? You saw him on the weekend, didn't you?
His post-match interview after the 40-blot victory over the sadly...
Describe it, Chris, can you please?
Sadly, badly travelling Canberra Raiders. He did a cross to the Matty John show.
Yeah.
And he's there with one eye... Almost like the blood in a trail, like Alice Cooper wears his black mascara.
And not too far from Lindsay Collins. Already looks like Lurch or you know, Herman Munster anyway.
He's not an Narev to begin with.
No, he's not.
He's got the gap in the teeth.
He's not Reece Walsh.
No. And I don't know whether that's a natural gap or he's just missing a front
he's
tooth.
He's missing teeth. Apparently he's lost all of his teeth and he's waiting to retirement to rebuild them all and his wife can't wait.
Do you remember the old weatherman Brian Bury?
Yes, I do.
He decided his teeth were so bad and he was not telegenic enough, he got all his teeth taken out in order to put in a set of TV teeth.
Yeah.
And everyone thought he was crazy. Everyone's doing it these days, as far as I can see.
Yeah.
And so they did a cross and, of course, you know, there was all the mock horror, are you okay? And he said, look, sorry, guys, I'm not looking my best.
It scared Matty Johns.
But on the Facebook page for Fire Up, where you can join Blowing Up Deluxe, our chat as well.
Yeah.
I said it's the launch of the Rugby League bookends because it was the retirement of Dale Finucane.
Yeah.
And you can see the two pictures of these men.
Oh, very similar.
And it's a beautiful symmetry.
Blood, scratches, missing teeth, dead eyes. But it's a tackle machine, Chris.
It's a tackle machine.
Tackle machine.
100 tackles in a game, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, Brendan Cowell, we keep coming back to Brendan, don't we?
He is the suicide.
He sees the future. I wish he'd had a few nice words about the Dragons last week, but nothing.
He walked out.
I should have known that, shouldn't I?
He walked out on you.
Saw it coming, yeah. We got something for him?
Well, Wayne doesn't drink. Like, that's what they always say. Wayne will coach till he's in the coffin.
In the box.
Because he doesn't drink and doesn't play golf, which apparently the only two other things you can do in life other than rugby league. What do you do after footy? Drink or golf?
Well, you know, you see AA cases, right? They get bored and they've got energy to burn. They just keep going. They're not going to give up. They're not going to stop and say, that's it. Unless, of course, you do something worthwhile, like, you know, join a poker club or something, you know. But golf, yes, drinking, but you can't do it.
Alice Cooper started drinking, stopped, went and played golf.
Right. Somebody else, of course, who really should take note of this, a man who seems to be in the news this week, and I'm not talking about Jason Demetrio, went out to dinner the other night at Roselle. Now, it seems to be the far-flung sort of reaches of the country now are now run by the Merivale Group.
Yes.
Most people don't come a cropper when they go to those places, though. They're genteel.
Mm-hmm.
They have great music,
mm-hmm.
you know, quality people, quality food. and but not so
attentive staff.
Attentive staff, exactly. Decor, amazing decor. You know, Toddy's. We love Italian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Early in the evening, nice. I suppose would you say sort of sophisticated dinner?
I'd expect scampi to be on the menu.
Scampi on the menu, yeah. A bit of garlic, some sort of herb, and then what happens after?
Well, if you've been to the Sackville Hotel beforehand,
yes, I've heard about this.
Yes, and then you sort of move into Toddy's, and you've got profile.
Yeah,
people can go, Stephen. I think the expression is they can shitpot you.
Shitpot you.
Yes. And you, I've seen this, Stephen. You are a public figure.
Yeah.
And no doubt, yeah, lots of people try and just needle you.
Yeah,
they have a crack.
Yeah.
And was that 60 yeah. to what? 60 yeah. to what?
Exactly. And you've got to have a funny retort. Humour comes into play. Now, unfortunately, well, who are we talking about? Paul Kent, not funny. Doesn't have a retort.
Dead set. So hang on. So is that how you handle it, with a humorous retort, or just a sort of I'm above?
Yeah,
this?
When I saw those, the Royd boys from Bondi the other night, the Allianz, you know, I had to be funny. You know, they're saying, "See you later, guys." I said, "No, I'm staying. Oh, this is going to be our home ground soon. Don't you worry, buddy."
There you go.
Yeah,
and they had no comeback. Did
no
they?
Comeback. No. They're not. What are you talking about? And this is our ground.
And that's also it confuses them and it de-escalates the situation.
Of course it does. Yeah. Have to scratch and think about it. Yeah.
But unfortunately, in and around the Toddy's meal, some individual has allegedly had a bit of a verbal go at...
You say shitpot.
Paul. Yeah, that's the expression that's bouncing around
current,
this morning.
Current, okay, yeah.
And look, we don't need to forensically go through, but there was a contretemps, Stephen.
Okay.
There was an exchange of words followed by an attempted exchange of
got
blows.
Any form or in this area?
Kenny?
Kenny?
If you read the Nine Press today, you can see a number of incidents that are laid out for you.
Lit up for this year, yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't end well. Obviously, there's been a lot of reference to him going base over apex, colliding with a tree.
A tree?
Tree being ruled out of the 11-day rule for concussion.
Oh, no.
The tree got 6 weeks for the attacking the head, all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But, and look, I don't want to make light of the situation, Stephen. Sometimes I do people... probably should look at what the situation suggests and maybe get some...
No charges were laid.
Professional. So, well, the other person has been charged with a fray.
The other person.
The thing has been worked through the process.
Kenty is the innocent party here.
We may well be the case.
And do we know what sort of watch he wears? Because he took his watch off before the fray.
I'm assuming it was expensive. I'm sure it was one of those smart watches like you wear.
Breitling.
Yeah.
Oh, a smart one.
Yeah.
Apple one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the watch is going, bip, 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 take me off.
Take
me off. They can recognise...
And it knows, of course, an ambulance when you go arse over tit, right? Automatically.
Every time Kenny's heart rate goes up a certain level, the watch goes, get rid of me. And if help was required, I hope help is sought. And the whole thing is still being played out.
Right.
But what it really does say, and maybe Braden Trindle from the Sharks would be interested in this advice as well, if you've got rugby league in your life and you've got two choices... Yeah. I'd be getting out on the first tee and having a couple of swings, Stephen.
Soothing stuff, Chris. Yes. Now there was an animal insult brought into this whole caper, wasn't there?
Well, we're very big on the rugby league lexicon, Stephen, and the biology of rugby league.
Yes, of course.
And it's been a really fertile week because during the brouhaha, Kenny was heard to have enunciated the words dog and dog head.
Yeah.
Now, we're used to dog. We've been concerned that dog, why is that a slur, dog act, et cetera, because people love dogs.
Yes.
Weak-gutted dog.
Not that Republican candidate.
You tell me about that one.
No, she took a gun out and shot a dog.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
That's right.
And she goes, it's tough on the farm.
I hate that dog. Yeah, you know? That dog had no respect for me.
Because the dog was – I read that interview, and from what I could tell, the dog was behaving like a dog, and we can't stand for that out on the farm.
Nor had it been no dog whisperer and, has been trained.
And then maybe she's not a vice presidential candidate, and she's going, really? Is there an issue here?
Well, yeah, that's how we live on the land, right?
Because people love dogs.
Yeah.
So why a dog act, I don't know.
I got a gun.
Yeah.
The dog's playing up. Let's shoot the dog.
She would argue that the dog she shot, sorry for people who are offended by this, was a weak-gutted dog, I assume.
Yes, of course.
Or potentially a dog head.
A dog head.
So where do they rank dog dog head and weak-gutted dog?
Yeah, and we get into that sort of weird sort of, you know, medieval time where griffins and creatures that were winged birds mixed with sort of an animal dragon or something. Is that what we're talking about here?
Minotaurs, maybe.
You know what I'm saying? It's very confusing, Chris. Now, a little sort of add-on from a couple of weeks ago, there was, not just – this wasn't at Toddy's, right? This was in the tunnel. Remember, Jack Hetherington squared up after he was sent off a little fight with – who was he fighting again?
He was fighting Reed Marnie from the Canterbury Bulldogs in what's called a tunnel, though. Terry Bull, big fan of this show and contributor, suggested that because it's above ground, it should be called a viaduct, I think.
Not the vomitorium.
No, that's...
That's the corner.
That's the corner.
Yeah, viaduct. Yeah, fair enough, yeah. Where things shouldn't... what happens in the viaduct stays in the viaduct, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was another insult. Was there another insult thrown around about another animal?
Yeah, so...
Is that fair?
So Jack Hetherington said, I was not being serious about fighting Reed Marnie, but it was, get this, Stephen, stupid. Yes. If I had my time again, I wouldn't have done it.
Yep.
They could have made an example of me, even if it was lighthearted. I was expecting to get longer than a week. But he did go on to refer to Reed as a chihuahua.
Oh, man, that's low. That's really low. Come on, I love dogs, but not chihuahuas. Chihuahuas, you put your finger near, they bite them off, right?
Aren't they cute?
Not cute at all.
Aren't they Paris Hilton?
They live in handbags, you're right, but they're killers, little killers, because they've got a big chip on their shoulder, Chris, you know that.
So if you're saying there's dog, dog head and weak-gutted dog,
yeah.
Worse than all those things.
Mini chihuahua.
A mini chihuahua.
A mini chihuahua,
well, if Reed chihuahua, if Reed Marnie's a chihuahua, does Giant Grey, the diminutive fullback currently playing for the beleaguered South Sydney Rabbitohs, is he a mini chihuahua?
Right, yes, of course. And often they look like their hair has fallen out, you know, a bit sort of half bitten off, you know. It's not a good look, I tell you what. That's gee whiz. Did you mention Troy Cassidy was singing at one of the games?
So this is where it's really got to for South Sydney, Stephen. Possibly as we're leaving, and we're still in the middle of D-Day. There's another.
And this is not Russell Crowe singing.
This is no, he's got his seconds out, right?
Okay.
And he goes, you know what they say, bread and circus, you've got to entertain the masses when things aren't going well politically. Souths are absolutely down the gurgler.
Yeah.
They've got their seconds at the board meeting, don't know what to do. Well, I'll tell you what to do.
Well, they don't know who anybody is.
Please, a la that vice presidential candidate's dog.
Yeah.
Take poor old Jason out the back, and you know what I'm saying, right? And in order to soothe, I don't know if it's the savage breasts of South Sydney Rabbitohs fans in the borough,
yes.
The entertainment for, let's face it, feels like it's going to be a procession at Acor Stadium on Thursday night, Stephen, South Sydney versus Penrith.
Yeah.
Troy Cassidaly's coming out to do the Cassidaly
dialogue. To rev up the troops, is he?
Including glory, glory to South Sydney.
Dear, oh dear, that's going to be a sad moment, isn't it, Chris?
They say country music's taking over. Is it a good thing? I'm not so sure.
Look, if they had Beyonce, they may get a crowd.
Well.
Aren't they going to get a crowd?
Why Russell can't pull some strings and say, hey, look, don't look over here. Don't look at the table where we are 17th.
Yeah.
Have a listen to Cowboy Carter.
Question. Yeah, that's right. Question. If Beyonce is going to do Jolene, what could Russell Crowe sing? I'm talking not Slim Dusty, you know, but what's the bloke with no teeth?
Oh, the sheik from Scrubby Creek.
Sheik from Scrubby Creek.
Chad Morgan.
If Russell could do a Chad Morgan, that might be a highlight.
If you had Beyonce doing Dolly and Russell doing Chad, South could get flogged 80-0 and people still go home
still
happy.
Still going to happy, that's right, just sing along. Well, Chris, rugby league is not so dumb, not so stupid after all. So let's leave on a great highlight, shall we?
I feel very smart, Steve.
Thank you very much. See you next week.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting round of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!